All right, so here we are. Today's daf is daf Nun Vav. It's a beautiful Erev Shabbos. Eli is with us. What could be better? Ve'elu trefo to ba'oth. The following trefos apply to ofos. Now, the truth is that there isn't much different here, as we'll see. It's all the different phraseology. But as Rashi points out, there are things that we need to know because of the continuation of the Mishnah Velik Sheir as well. And there's other things that we need to know because of the what I might have thought would be different by an Ov. There's slightly different Nikudas here. But generally, as the Gemara will say, whatever applies in the Mishnah earlier, Velik Sheir, but the opening Mishnah, would apply in an oath, assuming that there's such an organ in an oath. I mean, obviously, a teres or teres apivi or a okay, leave it. Come on, you're using teres apnimi, hemses, teres akosas. I mean, these are things that don't even appear in an oath. The structure of the lungs is also works differently. So we'll see. There's some question about reis in an oath later on. But in any event, the Mishnah reads as follows. Elu trefus ba'of nikuvas avesha tutsukas agageras. And that seems to be rather obvious, but as Rashi points out, I might have thought that because an oaf is kosher with only one simen, so that means that it's much more, it's a more tenuous hold on life, and therefore a simple nekev in the gargaret might have been enough. For mashpon, you still need a psukas agageras, so this would be therefore said for the Mishnah Velik Sheiros, essentially. Hikta chulda al rosha, makom she'oseu ta trefa. A chulda, now hikta does not mean with its paws. We already saw before that yesh le chulda drisa ba'ifa. So we're not talking about drisa, because otherwise, why would it have to be makom she'oseu ta trefa necessarily? What it means over here is that it was bitten by the chulda. And if it's in a place where you have to be cheshesh for the krum shel moach, which on an oaf is much more delicate, you therefore by an oaf, if the skull was punctured, so if it's a makom she'oseu trefa, then it's assumed to be a trefa. And let's see, there is a bedika for this. Nikev akurkevan, we don't have exactly the equivalent of a kurkavan in a behema, because as I pointed out to you earlier, although a kurkavan in a sense is a stomach, however, it's not really a stomach that doesn't have the linings for which the stomach has for stomach acid. And in fact, there's two completely different organs, as you can see over here on page 78 in the illustration we saw before also. So there's the proventriculus, which is the equivalent of the stomach lining. So it gives out digestive juices. But then there's the kurkavan, the gizzard, which doesn't have juices, but on the other hand has very strong muscles. If you've seen a kurkavan, obviously everybody's seen a kurkavan. And it's a grinder. Plus, I mean, it has at that point the stomach juices in it. So it's essentially chewing the food. A bird doesn't chew its food. It chews the food at the same time that the acids are there, rather than the mammal trick of having a saliva that breaks down certain things it chews. It actually chews at the stomach. So nonetheless, it has the same halach as we saw the kurkavan and the nekiva, the same thing as the nekiva sakeva, except that it has the additional complications of the inner lining and the outside lining because of the fact that it's so thick. Which Tosis pointed out earlier is why we talk specifically about the kurkavan on that level. Nikvu hadakin, which is the equivalent of ahim, the intestines that had a nikuva in it. Nafla la'ur v'nichmuru b'nei me'eha. If it fell into a fire, which often will happen that a bird will fly to an area that's very hot and not realize that it got caught in a flame. If the innards were affected, so that they're yirukim, and we'll see what this means. Imirukim shali means something that would normally have been red that turns yarok, but the opposite would also be true. Something that's normally greenish yellow that turned red would also be treif. So we'll see later on. The Gemara will explain which organs we're referring to. So if they're yarok, they're pasul. If they're adom, then they're kosher. It's a reference to the lungs and to the liver and so on. question is, by the way, why we didn't have something like this about a behemoth. There's a very interesting machlokas arishonim, whether there's such a thing as nirchmeru by behemoth, because we didn't list the Mishnah before. The Rambam says there's no such thing. It's because of the fact that the abdomen of a mammal is a stick and protects it. So there's no way that its internal organs are going to be affected before the animal is actually burned, and therefore it wouldn't be nogeya. Mashen came the, and it's interesting, the Svardic approach was like the Rambam. The Rosh also agrees, and therefore, of course, the Shulchan Aruch Paskin is like the Rambam and the Rosh with kosher. But the Chachmei Ashkenaz, essentially, you have the Ramban and the Rajba and so on, that Paskin that, no, actually, if you would have seen a Nichmeru by a mammal, it also would have been possible. And therefore, the Rambam Paskin that a Nichmeru would be possible. The only reason doesn't mention it, because you never have to be choshish for it. It's only if you saw it in a rare case, you saw such a thing, so the Mishnah doesn't mention it, which you see is a little bit problematic, to say the least. Dorsa v'tarfa b'kotel o sheritzatzta behima u'mefarcheset. If an animal, rather a human, steps on a bird, or throws it against a wall. Now this would be true l'gabi behima also, except by behima we speak about the norm. At least this is the way the Ram learns. We speak about the norm. And the norm would be nafula for a large animal if the person has to pick up an animal and throw it against the wall. But in an oath, the equivalent of nafula would be these cases we saw before, like the rams that were being negiyah. Where it could also, because it's a nefila through an egis, that becomes more a risikevorim issue. See here too, or an animal that was ritzatzta, even if the bird is really in bad shape, and it's sitting there, it's being the farcheset, and it's trembling, and this goes on for 24 hours, if it survived 24 hours, so then if you check that it's kosher. Otherwise, you have the same problem of the fula that we had before by behemoth. Now, Rav Shmuel and Levi, says the Gemara, the Amri, there is a test for the case of Hikta Chulda al Rosha. And that is, you stick your finger into the mouth of the bird and press upwards. If the brain comes out of the hole, in other words, if there would be a hole through the membrane, then you would find matter coming out from the brain. I mean, the brain of a chicken is tiny. But nonetheless, if you press up on the, they don't call them chicken brains or nothing, if you press up on the top of the mouth, it will put pressure on the brain to come out of that little hole. So you could be machdish yadol lefimu bodek, imivat zveitz v'ole. So if anything comes out, then clearly there's a hole there, it's grave. Avim lav kshera. Now, wait a minute, says Gemara, but that's not necessarily true, because hey, for the man yomar damin kaf karma tatra. Before we had a machlokus, whether necessarily the bottom, the actual cranial membrane itself, has to be broken. So if you hold that the which is the lower membrane, not the membrane that's attached to the bottom of the skull, the lower membrane. So the lower membrane, if that has to be broken, I understand, and that means that the brain will be mematzveitz. And labadav need give you law. But suppose you hold, according to the Man Yomar, says the dura mater itself is sufficient to break. So now if I press up, I'm not sure that there hasn't been a hole through that membrane, which is attached to the bottom of the skull. And, Richie was away for a while. And therefore, maybe the brain isn't coming out with pressure because the cranial membrane, the fear matter, is still a hole. So what kind of test is this? So the man yomer inki v'law, afagav de lo inkev tata, why aren't we chayshish nechush, dilma ila inkev tata lea inkev? That maybe indeed the cranial membrane is intact, even though there's a hole there that would make it a trefa. Answers the Gemara, i'ita de inki v'law, tata agav rucha se nifka poka. If in a bird, which has a very, very thin membrane, the chlal, the cranial membrane is very tiny, we saw before, it could barely pull it off without pulling off part of the brain with it, but in the bird, if you would be pushing up against the brain from underneath, if there was a hole in the skull that had broken through the membrane beneath the skull, there's no way that pressure wouldn't push the brain through the lower membrane, and therefore there's no problem of a chashash, even according to the Man D'Yomar, because agav ruchachei, because it's so rach, because it's so soft, mitka poka, it would have burst under pressure.
Which part of the Mishnah is talking about?
About the chulda. It says over here that if there was a problem that it was bitten on the head, then if it's a mokum, ritzosis or treifa, so then it's possible. So here the Gemara is giving us what's the bedika to see whether in fact it was made a treifa. Yeah, I should hope so. Wouldn't do that bird much good before. I mean, if you did it before, it would also work. Seriously, you could do it before. Omar Ziri, in bedika lechulda mipnei shishine hadakot. Ziri said, you cannot check for the bite of a weasel because its teeth are very thin. And I mean, I guess it's assuming, thinks the Gemara at this point, that because it's so thin, the hole wouldn't be large enough to allow for the escape of any of the brain matter. So, you know, what kind of story is that? Who cares? If you're putting enough pressure on a hole, the things will come out of it. What it said was, is it's because it has very thin and curved teeth. And therefore, when you press up against the top of the mouth, what happens is that compresses the area of the hole that was up against the brain against the skull. But the actual point of entry might have been a millimeter to the side. But since it's pressed up against the skull, it won't come out. And therefore, the more pressure you put, the more you seal the hole. So you can't check it in this fashion. Not bad. Not bad at all. Kisalik Naharda. But when Ziri went to Naharda, Shalachlu, he sent a message back. Whoops. Sorry. That was a mistake. Actually, the correct quote was, Kachon Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Botkin Lechulda Biyad Avalo B'Masmir. That you can use only the hand test, meaning pressing up against the brain from the bottom, but you cannot use the test of a nail. And how would you do a test of a nail? You would run a nail across the top of the brain and see whether it catches anywhere. That's if there was a hole, it will catch. Outside. So if there's a hole, it will catch. Now, obviously, it's more likely to make a hole than to catch a hole. But, you know, at least you won't go wrong. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan Rafa Masmer, you could actually use the Masmer test too, and this is an old machlokus between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nehemiah. The plug of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nehemiah. Sorry?
A metal nail.
Chad Barik B'Yoda v'Chad Barik B'Machata. It doesn't say who, but Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nehemiah would do the bedika in a case like this. One using his hand, meaning putting the hand inside of the mouth, pressing up against the brain, and the other one would use a needle, a sharp needle, to see if it catches. So, mandabodik biyada, amalela mandabodik bemachta. The hand checker would claim, would shout at the needle tester, admatata mechalema mononja Yisrael, how long are you going to keep on throwing out Yiddisha geld? I mean, you use this needle, obviously, you find the hole. You made the hole. What are you telling me? You're finding a hole.
I'm sorry, I don't remember. How are you finding or using the tip and just sort of running?
It's like an electron microscope. And the other one, mandabodik b'machta, omale mandabodik b'machta, mandabodik b'yoda, and you? How long are you going to keep feeding good to Yidden Nevelis? Nevelis? Hasip is Nevelis? I mean, I shechted it. It's not a Nevela. It's a worse to Trefa. No, it was shechted. All right, fine. To Trefas. Sell a Trefas. How long are you going to feed them Trefas? Now, it's very interesting because at the end, indeed, it turns out to be Rabbi Yehuda, who is the one that says that that you use the hand. And therefore, he would have been the one that was shouting at Rabbi Nehemiah, how long are you going to keep feeding the Nevelis? Which is true. Because Rabbi Yehuda's Shita that we saw back in Zvachim is that an oath doesn't become Torah midei Nevelis through Shita. So according to him, it was a good thing. What's the Gemara upset about? It says, first of all, we didn't know at this point that it was reviewed. We're only going to discover that later. Here it was chad and chad. And secondly, I mean, even if you hold that, you can't tie it to the person who holds not like that, and he would say it's a trefa. You can't use your shita to cry at somebody else that he's feeding the veils. So you should have said trefas. Right. So we see that there is, why would it be trefa? Shem nikav krum shel moach. What kind of test is that? Maybe it's nikav krum shel moach and you can't rely on the bedikah for a chulda. Now, you said you don't know who it was, but we can know from elsewhere, from a brisa who it was, that the stayin, that it was Rabbi Yehuda actually, that was the one that used the pressure test. The Tanya Rabbi Shimi ben Elazar Amir Mishum Rabbi Yehuda botkin lechulda biyad avalo b'masmer. In a bird that was Nishbar Ha'etzem, where we definitely see that there was the skull had been punctured, then Apo Pishalonik of Krum Shomach. Now that's a problem, as we're going to ask, because I mean, isn't that the whole point of this Padika? We're going to ask that in a moment. But anyway, that's the end of the Brisa. To stay, indeed, you just proved it. It was Rabbi Yehuda who held that you used the pressure test. Oh, one moment. That's where I'm getting to this. Agul Fakasha. Hold on one second. First you said, you're baited. It's a baited chulda b'yad, v'lo b'masmer. I mean, obviously, Alma, you play b'tikuta. So you're saying that there's a way to check it. Even though I know that there's a hole in the skull, I can check to see whether the brain is going to come out of that hole, or whether there's the membrane is still hole that can protect it. And then you go right in and you say, then you say, well, actually, it doesn't even matter. Even if there's no hole through the membrane, once it got bit through the head, it's going to end up with a trephis. So I'm a less vaybidikusa. Make up your mind. Answers the Gemara. There are two types of birds. Seifa atan of shomayim. Birds, water birds. Hoil ve'in lo krum do not have a cranial membrane. What are you talking about? In lo krum. What are we talking over here? Magic. We don't mean ein lo krum, but ein lo, the same type of krum that we checked before, oil the krumo rach, a water bird, the chalal has a different bone structure to allow for it to be able to float and so on, to move its head down. And that includes a different type of membrane, which is very thin. And if you break through the skull, it's overs, curtains. Omele Rav Nachman Ravana. And we had a similar problem. Rav Nachman was very confused. He says to Ravana, you know, you told me, Mar Omar, you told me that you saw Shmuel, Halacha L'maisa, being Bodek B'yoda, he was using the pressure test, and he was Maksha. I heard from Huna, my friend, Huna Chavri, he said he saw Rav do the same thing, that Rav was Bodek B'yoda, Rav also used the pressure test, and Rav was Maksha. Tosis points out that Rav and Shmuel said Beferish, you could do it anyway, but that here, you could say, okay, but maybe the Halacha L'maisa, they didn't, but you're telling me they actually did. And the Halacha L'maisa they were making. So, I don't understand, but Levi says in a brisa, and this Tosis points out, Levi was one of the three people that also said before Rav and Shmuel Levi was the opening of the Gemara. So really, we could have asked directly on Levi from this. I mean, we're trying to bring in everybody in this. But Levi himself brings a brisa that says, Shreifot shemanu chachamim bivheima kinegdan ba'ov. All of the applicable, obviously, some of them are not applicable, but all of the applicable trefas from the ruminants that are mentioned at the beginning of the parak, when they can be found, a similar organ in a bird, it applies to a bird too. Yetra aleyamov, there's an additional trefas in a bird, which is nishbar etzem afapi shalonikav krum shalmov. That if there's a hole in the skull, then even though the membrane beneath is intact, it's a trefa, whereas we said by a behema, it's only nikav krum shel moach. So what's the point of checking with the pressure to see whether there's a hole in the membrane? All you need to know is if you saw that the skull was punctured, it's all over. Omar lay, and indeed, Ravon and answer Rav Nachman, don't. Of course that's true. But ahu ufa shel mayim, that's talking about a water bird, and a water bird is different to all the ein lo krum. Engelkrum's not the Neibach. What do you mean, Engelkrum? Meaning all the Krumura. It was another mice of it. Is chiropractor school really
cool? Well, let's not go there. The question is still, do we have any documentation?
I don't know. I have never examined a crumb of a duck.
That was really crumb
figures. No, that's okay. He tarnagulta, the Havi Be'rav Chana. Now, there was a mice with a tarnagul that was by Rav Chana, which he didn't want to paskin, and he sent it to Rav Masna. The case was where there was a hole through the skull, so it was nishpar etzem, but they had determined that the membrane was intact, and lo nikev krum shel moach, and he was marshaled. So Rav Chana was very confused for the same reason that Rav Nachman was confused in the same question he asked Rav Anan. He said, well, what about the brisa quoted by Levi, which said that trefu shemonach hachomi b'veima kenegdan ba'of, and then yeter aleihem of, there's that additional problem with a bird, which is nishbar etzem, afa pisha lo nikev krum shel moach, that even though the membrane wasn't broken, so how were you marshaling? Omar Leh, last I heard, tarnagels don't swim. And that was talking about an Ov Shel Mayim. An Ov Shel Mayim doesn't have a krum. What? Doesn't have a krum. Emo krum sakadaitach, elayim ahoel v'krum o'rach. Now, there were other ways of checking this. Rav Shizbi, he would be bodik b'shimsha. He would hold it up against the sun to see if there was a hole. Rav Yemar was bodik b'maya. Rav Yemar used the old water test. And there's two ways of understanding the water test. Either he removed the brain from underneath, put water into the above the membrane and saw whether any of it would come out, or Rashi brings another test would be to put water on the top of from the outside and see whether the water became discolored with any brain matter. So if it turned color at all, then obviously it was mixing somewhere, even if we can't see where. So he was Bodik B'maya. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov would be Bodak B'gila D'Chitasa. He would use not a needle, but with the very thin extensions of a chita. So it's like a, it's more like the hair-like, the hair-like. Yeah. So actually, the Rif had another gears here apparently, which was would be Mayetz. He would suck it up through a straw. So that instead of attempting to put pressure on the bottom of the skull, he would put a vacuum on the top and see if he could vacuum something out. And if he could get something out, then obviously there was a hole there. Omar, Rav Shizbi, Hani, Avzi, Didan, those goose-like things that go into the water often are indeed water birds, and they're of Shomayim. And they have also the same problem. Once there's a hole in the skull, you can forget it. Injections in the skull? No, not in the skull. It's the neck. That's a different traveling. Yeah. There's a question of problem with the vesha. No. Not flalur if it falls into a flame. Omer of Yelchim Shum Rav Yosef Ben Yehoshua. When we talk about changing colors, it doesn't mean the whole organ has to change color. It means that an area that would be large enough to possibly, if there was a hole there, change colors. And just like the nekuva is b'mashu, to have your rukatan b'mashu, then it means even a small area that was affected by heat makes it a trefa. The Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, Rav Yehoshua ben Levi's son Yosef asked him, Rav Yosef asked him, Horika kaved keneged bnei me'ayim ma. How about a case if the liver had turned, but the part that was the lower part up against the intestines, but the upper part of the kaved was not affected. So then what? So he said, it's a trefa. Oh, so if you compare it, the nekiva. So then, let's say that we'll view that part of the liver even as cut off. But we said the liver can regenerate. So over here, you should have told me that to be consistent, you should have said the shear is the same. In which case, if there's any part of the liver that was left whole, there should be no problem. Now I got you. So lo ye ela nitla. Amarava kivin shahurika kaved kineged b'nei ayin. Biyadua shenafla lo'ur v'nichmuru b'nei me'eha v'treifa. The din of nichmuru b'nei me'eha is a specific treifa. What we're looking at over here is once we've discovered that it was, we're looking for nichmaru. Once it's nichmaru, we don't need to have in that particular organ that it should be nichmar, the shear of the taking away of that organ. It's a nichmaru, the same thing that we find by nefula or risakevorim. There is a status of risakevorim. We need to see whether there was a risakevorim. So we need to see whether there was a effect of nichmaru. Once it's nichru, it's treifa. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Havileyahu Tarnagulta. Now Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi had a shayla on a tarnagul that he sent to Rabbi Elazar Kafar Barib. So Rabbi Elazar sent him back a telegram, Yerukin Avi, they were yellowed, and therefore I said it was kosher. Oh no. You know the old story where the Reb Chaim Brisker sent a telegram during the war to the Achiezer, asking him to paskin about how many days you keep Yom Kippur in Japan. So he says, please just send me the psak, don't send me the reason. That's a serious story. If I hear the reason, I'm obviously not going to accept it. See, Rabbi Elazar Kafar Barib, he said, there's no problem, they're green. Oh no, what are they green? The Mishnah says if they're green, that they're puzzle. You're telling me about your banan. You're looking psulim. So here's where we get to understanding what that means. Lo yomru yirukin psulim, ela bikurkavan, belev, bikaved. Those organs that are normally a deep red, so the kurkavan, the heart, the liver, if they turn yellow green, then they're obviously been overheated. I'd rather be diving. I'd rather be sneezing. Which ones of the Bnei Me'ayim was the Mishnah referring to when it talked about turning color, that it became greenish? That's the kurkavan, the gizzard, or the layer of the kaved. Now there was also Maisa Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef, who had a tarnagol that he sent to Rabbi Avuda Paskin, and he said, oh, it's no problem. Everything was red, and therefore I said it was trade. No, no. I thought if it's red, it's kosher. Why not? I didn't share him. Ah, valet. If the red thing turns green, but if the green thing turns red, you got a problem. So Yerukin Shadimu Trefa. Lo Amru Adumim Sherim Ela Belev Bekurkavan Ubekaved. So if you have, let's say, intestines that now are suddenly red, they're not supposed to be red. And therefore, something is funny. They must have been overheated. Omer Shmuel Bachi Omer Amar Rabbi Mani Adumim Shahuriku. If you had the, let's say, you had a liver that had turned colors, and then Shokan, now you boil it up, the Chazra VeAdima, and now it turns red. So obviously it's kosher. Wouldn't it turn back red? So what you've done is if you're able to turn it back to its normal color, my time, it's like kutra ayobulam, something has smoke inhalation and that turned a weird color for that, but that'll turn back to normal color once it's heated. So that means that the bird is not treif. We could say the same thing, that in the opposite case, where they were red and had not been huriku, that had fallen into a fire, and now you heat them up and suddenly they turn green, should be treifa. My time is gloy bahatayu. Now you've washed off whatever film was hiding their terrible chisaron, and now their chisaron was nizgala, that they were in fact affected. They were in fact affected by the heat. Om Ravashi says, Ravashi, well, that means hilkach lo lechalinu shalav b'shalka. I always said people should never eat anything but stews. That way you could tell whether it fell into the fire. Obviously, we're only talking about a bird that fell into a fire, not that we're going to be chayshish. The logi, but that even that's not true. Because achzuki reyes lo machzuki is a very important yisod. We don't go out to be machzik reyes. You're going to say, well, you never know, something might be wrong. Maybe we should figure out how it's wrong. Let's put it into a stew to find out if it's wrong. Why should we do such a thing? We do our normal, but everything seems fine. Maybe that's the precious baby, something wouldn't be fine in other circumstances. And therefore, it's certainly not true you can eat it any way you like, even if there was a chashash of Nafalur.
There's no chashash of Nafalur.
Then, of course, he never would have said it. He would never be bothered to
say it. Cook inside the chicken, does it quite become safe?
Yes. It sure does. These would have to be special checking pots, like we use for eggs. Not only that, if you boil livers, it's generally not a good idea. They should have a picture of the intestines. Doors of the Torfa Bekeso. Omrav Lazar ben Tignus, Mishum ben Lazar ben Yani, Achazu, the Achazu, Tzrichabdika, both cases. In other words, whether you're talking about the Doris or the Torfa, the Keso, the Behemesh or Doris, even though it was Sheyem Yes Lies, we said if you shafted it, it's kosher, but it certainly is Tzrichabdika. It's not any different than the case we had by Behemoth that didn't walk, where, okay, you may not pass it because of reason gave harm. It's still going to require a bedika here too. You have to check. Maybe the back was broken. I mean, anything could happen to it. Slamming against the wall like that. The following things are kosher. Nikva hagargeret o shenistika. Even though it's only an oath and you think it might be more sensitive, it's not. Same thing, that it's kosher if it just has a nekep. Or if it's split along lengthwise, as long as there's something that's holding it on top and bottom. Hiktach l'dal rosh ha'b'makom she'eino usel tatrefa. Or if it was bit on the head, but not connected to the membrane. Nikev ha'zefek, if there's a hole in the zefek. Now the zefek, you will recall, is the crop. Here's a picture of the crop. And it's nothing but a little holding tank for seeds. For whatever the bird is eating, it just sits there because it takes. It's like a sack, and it's not important. Basically, it's just nothing is done there. It's just held there, and if there's a hole there, there's nothing going on that leaks out and causes any kind of damage. So therefore, if there was a neck in it, it's not a problem. Rebbe Omer Afilu Nitel, even if the zefik was removed completely, there'd be no problem. Yatsu b'nei me'el, the intestines had come out of the bird, v'lonikvu, but there was no hole in them. Nishtabru gapeha, if the wings were broken, it's kosher. Nishtabru ragleha, if the legs were broken, it's kosher. We'll see, of course, this is only where there's no problem of affected tzomet agidim, which we'll discuss later on. Nimretu k'nafeha, if the feathers had been removed, it's kosher. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, not necessarily. Im nitla hanotza psula. If the down was removed, then that's possible. That's like a gluda on a mammal, the down.
The down fluff.
Yeah. Actually, I think they have a nice picture to distinguish between down and. I thought I saw it. Chickens have down, yeah. But I guess I imagined that I thought. And maybe it was in, I have a lot of these. Oh, no, here we go. Here we go. You can see the difference is that the down does not have a kana. And that's the essential difference. The feather has a kana, as you can see. So there's this bony-like structure in the middle, and then there's barbs that come out of it. Whereas the down is just fluff coming out of a root, but it doesn't have any kana extending through it. Right. And that's the down.
Which is down. Right, and which is the comma here? This
yeah,
the,
yeah,
the firm.
The corner, the thing you use a fan.
It's
coming out of the bird, but then that's it, then it's
left. Plus out.
Doesn't have any central. No spine. Spineless. Exactly.
It's
all removed. Sure, because it doesn't regenerate. It's not like the skin.
Are they located in different parts of the bird? The down and the regular
part? One is in the bottom and one is on the top.
All
is up
the
against the skin.
All of the bird. Because don't they pull out some
Oh, that's a question with it. The whole big monk locus. There's some who do because of the chashash of the pegima against the kohen.
Oh, really? That's why they do.
And others bedafka don't because there's a whole scandal that sometimes it's pulled out and in doing so it actually makes a hole and affects the veshet.
Makes hole and affects the veshet.
Affects the veshet. A affects, not in effect.
So they don't do that anymore?
It's a machlokes. Some do, some don't. Tana Rabbana. Ma'aseh Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Tzadok. There was once a story where Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Tzadok hochu la'aber shana balut. They were on their way to the Beis Din and there were periods where they had to hide out to do Yibushana and so on. The Romans were very against one of the Gezeres. And the whole calendar issue was a major, major issue for all through the Middle Ages even, you know. Yeah. That was like the sign of your ascendancy, with which calendar you're using. But the Christians killed each other for the Adayom. You know, they have to argue about when Easter is. It's like the fundamental. Mamish, two different calendars. And the calendar issues were always very, very kosher. So they went to be Ma'abar Shana Balot. And on the way, they spent Shabbos in the Kiryat Ono. So
it's right next door.
It's
not that far.
Not that far.
No,
in those days, it's not quite yet. Vohoru, it's only far because of the traffic. Vohoru bitarpachat kerebi bezefek. Now, what they did is, it's very strange. They were mora about the din of a tarpachat, where there was a missing uterus, in the same way that Rebbe was Meira, at least that's one way of reading it, about the Zefek, or, so we boil it, what do they mean? Does that mean, Horu B'Tarpacha, B'Gibba Hoira, L'Isser? In the same case of Tarpacha, they gave an Isser, and in the case of Zefek, meaning where the Zefek was removed, they gave Epsak L'Ether, like Rebbe, it's a student of Psaki. The same way Rebbe said about Zephyr. But that doesn't mean like they held of Rebbe Bezephyr. Rebbe Bezephyr was Sviralu. This is how Rashi learns it. This is the gears that we have here. And it's frightfully bad. Why? First of all, if you recall, we had back at Sanhedrin that they considered Rebbe Tarfon, who tarfoned an animal that was missing its uterus, a Teya Bidvar Mishnah and forced them to pay. So obviously, I mean, you can tell me it's a machlokas, there's a whole raw that says that it actually was treif, and that's it. That's called a Teya Bidvar Mishnah? So that's one problem. So it's mashmah, there was never a tzad to say that there was a psakin at tarpachat l'isura. Furthermore, Stosis points out, why does the Gemara not entertain a simple meaning? They were mora heter by tarpachat, in exactly the same way that Rebbe was Meira Heter by Zefek, but that doesn't mean that they hold like Rebbe. Or they were Meira Heter by Tarpachat and Meira Heter by Zefek, like Rebbe. I mean, that's the simple way of understanding. But why would we not, why would we Bedavka? Why would we Bedavka focus on Easter? So, in fact, there's a different gear, so the Tosu suggests that it should say, is Hora betarpachas leheter ukarebi bezefek leheter? Al dilma Hora betarpachas lehetera kirebi bezefek avog rebi kizefek bezefek loisir. Well, they wouldn't have agreed with Rebbe with a zefek, but the same case of a missing tarpachat, they were more lehetera. The only question is, there's a whole, by the way, a similar case by Menoira. In Shabbos, we're using the same lashon that provides a lot of discussion between the Rishonim. What's the pattern? Well, the Gemara does this kind of thing when you say Hora X Ki Y. Okay, so that's a very reasonable girsa. The only problem is it's not what the Gemara says, but it does suggest it would have been nice. Okay, anyway, that question stands. Omer Rabba, Mitem Rabbi Yishur Ben Levi, Gago Shel Zefek. Nidon Kevesh. The roof of the Zefek is not seen as a separate organ. It's a continuation of the esophagus, because that's all that it is, really. Take a look over here. I mean, here's a Zefek hanging on page 80. There's nothing to distinguish the top of the esophagus from the Zefek. So the Zefek basically is like a diverticulum and part of the esophagus. But what? Why would the top part of the zephic be any different than the veshik? And therefore, nekuva of a zephic is b'mashu. So in that place, the nekuva of the zephic should also be b'mashu.
Well, nito is okay, though, right?
But okay, but then that would mean that that this area and only this area was affected. But only in an area where there is no veshik. So that's okay. It's not meant to be a veshik there. I mean, obviously it's different. You don't have the same muscle structure and so on that forces food out and food down. The whole thing is different. It's not real veshet. So what is that part of Gago Shel Veshet? Zelzefek, rather? Eicha, Amra Bibi Barabaya, Kol Shenim Tach Imo. Anything that is a continuation, although Nimtach can sometimes mean pulled out, that language of pulling is the same as Nimshach. And we always use, as Rashi points out, nimshach to mean along a straight line width, like we had before by the moach, that's nimshach into the chut hashidra. Doesn't mean it's pulled, it means it flows into. So here nimtach means the same thing. It's as if it's pressure to flow in that direction. So it's anything that's pulled along the lines or follows along the line. Now that's how Rashi learns it. Obviously, the other way, if you take nimtach as meaning literally nimtach, and it would only be the area which, if you put pressure on the veshet, that the zephic pulls out and becomes flat, like the veshet itself would be, which is a much smaller area. Yatsu b'nei meyeha, if the intestines fell out. So this can often happen. I mean, it's not difficult in a bird where there's some kind of slam against the bird and it breaks the abdomen, which is thin, and the intestines come out. Obviously, in an automobile accident and so on, I mean, it could happen to a cow that was driving the far side. I mean, you have this happen all the time. Omer Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak, Lo Shana Lo Shelo Hipech Behem. Now, the Mishnah says, if the intestines were hanging outside of the body, but they had no hole in them, then it's kosher. This is only Tainas Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak. That, now, it's a very interesting difference in approach. Rashi learned Shelo Hipech Behem, that it, what it means is that there was no torsion on the intestines. And if there was any torsion, any twisting, then what happens is that that area ends up decaying and pop. And that's the equivalent of having a nekev in it. However, there are other Rishonim that learn Hipech simply means to touch. So, in other words, if you can get those intestines back without touching it with your hand, because then you'll affect it, it'll end up being infected and so on. If it can be sterilely brought back in without anybody touching it, then it will be okay. But you can't have an intestine that were handled, even if they weren't twisted. You be very careful. You can't handle them. So, if a hipech behem, again, according to Rashi, if they were twisted in any way, then it would be treifa. And we see this a remez in a pasuk. It says, "Hu asecha vayechoneneka." What is vayechoneneka? The lashon of kan, like in the menorah. They have a base. So that means that the various organs have a place in which they're supposed to be. You can't just let them hang in different places. And over here, if it doesn't go back to where it's meant to be, then you can end up with pressures, torsions, twists, and so on, and you'll have a hole in the intestines. It's not kosher.
Chinese a bad she had to do.
Very bad, yeah. So Malamit Shabarak, Adosh Baruch Hu, Konuniyut Ba'adam, She Ne'efach Echad Ne'em Eino Yechol Lechiyot. Tanya already, Meir Omer, Hu Asecha Vayechoneneka. Vayechoneneka can be understood also as He made you based on yourself. In other words, you became a self a bootstrap. In other words, everything comes from within you. So you're a krocha de kulebe, you're like a metropolitan area that has everything from within itself. Doesn't need to bring in anything from elsewhere. Mimenu koanav, mimenu neviyav, mimenu sarav, mimenu milachav, as it says, mimenu pina, mimenu yated. There was an actual maisa where there was this.
In the human body.
This is a reference to Yisrael.
In Yisrael,
yeah. In Yisrael. I mean, The Balei Kabbalah learned this as meaning that anything that is expressed in Klal Yisrael is an expression of the underlying Klal. It's not, in other words, let's say you have Kayanim. It's not that Kayanim are a different Kedushim. I would say express that element of the Kedusha of Yisrael, which is doing the Aveda. The Melech is expressing the aspect of all of Yisrael, and so on. It's not that it's something from the outside,
like
but rather it emerges from within. So, mincha pina.
Like a hologram?
No. Bad metaphor, but you and Moshe Baruch should get together and discuss metaphors, I think. what's that?
I like mine.
No, I think he likes yours also. That's what I said.
No, thank you.
He does. No. It's a different way of looking at things. I don't mean it in a bad way. It's a different way of looking at things, and it's good to have a friend. You know, see things the way you do. Ahu Arma, there was this guy, the Chazal Ahu Gavra, not from Igaliara. He saw a man fall from a roof. And Pake Karse, his intestines burst out, his stomach broke, his abdomen broke open, the Nafuk Me'aine, and his intestines spilled out. So there was, obviously he didn't want to touch the guy and maybe cause some kind of horrific damage. So what he did is he brought the guy's son. Luckily he was skilled at doing these party tricks. You know, he was a magician. One of the things they always do is, you know, they cut you in half, you know. So basically he brought the guy's son and cut him in half. And he says, "Ah, that's it, that's not enough. I'll do it to your son." The guy goes, and in doing that, he pulls his intestine back in. The guy grabs the needle and sews him up right on the spot.
That's how we fix Hegel's hernia.
Really?
There
you go.
We need to have him jump off the step. Pressure pulls it down. Closes up.
Beautiful.
He
cut his son. So Azilabra, he brought the guy's kid. And Shachbe Kamebach, he says, "Hey, nine." He made it look like he killed him. Ingits, the guy is shocked and starts moaning. The Yisdach, Olamayne, and he drags in his own intestines, and then the guy was hiking the carcass. He sewed up his abdomen, and that was it.
And they all
looked up. It's a rather traumatic day. As they say in Yiddish, end is good as all is good.
So then, for a chick, they bring a little their chicks by.